You're listening to Oliver Nelson and Eric Dolphy with 6 and 4. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead. Of course, Nelson and Dolphy are both on tenor sax, and in this case, also on clarinet, with Richard Wyons on piano, George Duvivier, the famous bassist, and the famous drummer, Roy Haynes. It's Tuesday, September the 3rd, and we are going to be having our own debate here today, following directly from our program of last Friday, when we heard, as you may recall, Britain's Prime Minister David Cameron make his case for military intervention in Syria, and it came, as you know, under very close questioning by members of Parliament. They ultimately voted 285 to 272 against Cameron's proposal that Britain join the United States in a strike, a military strike, against Syria's Bashar al-Assad for allegedly using chemical weapons in rebel strongholds in areas near Damascus that are said to have killed hundreds of civilians and injured thousands more in a civil war that has been raging since April 2011. On Saturday, this past Saturday, President Obama followed Cameron's lead. The United States should militarily respond immediately and is ready to do so, he said. But he wants Congress to greenlight the attack on Syria with a formal vote. He briefed about 100 members of Congress by phone on Sunday, and the U.S. response to the crisis in Syria is expected to be the subject of debate when legislators return from summer break on September the 9th. We will listen to what the president said on Saturday, and I want you to listen very, very closely because it is the basis of our discussion and debate today. So you will want to make note, I'm just giving you a heads up, make note of the principal points that he makes in his address from the Rose Garden on Saturday. Here's President Obama speaking about where he stands with respect to Syria.
Good afternoon, everybody. 10 days ago, the world watched in horror as men, women, and children were massacred in Syria in the worst chemical weapons attack of the 21st century. Yesterday, the United States presented a powerful case that the Syrian government was responsible for this attack on its own people. Our intelligence shows the Assad regime and its forces preparing to use chemical weapons, launching rockets in the highly populated suburbs of Damascus, and acknowledging that a chemical weapons attack took place. And all of this corroborates what the world can plainly see. Hospitals overflowing with victims, terrible images of the dead. All told, well over 1,000 people were murdered. Several hundred of them were children. Young girls and boys gassed to death by their own government. Now, this attack is an assault on human dignity. It also presents a serious danger to our national security. It risks making a mockery of the global prohibition on the use of chemical weapons. It endangers our friends and our partners along Syria's borders, including Israel, Jordan, Turkey, Lebanon, and Iraq. It could lead to escalating use of chemical weapons or their proliferation to terrorist groups who would do our people harm. In a world with many dangers, this menace must be confronted. Now, after careful deliberation, I have decided that the United States should take military action against Syrian regime targets. This would not be an open-ended intervention. We would not put boots on the ground. Instead, our action would be designed to be limited in duration and scope. But I'm confident we can hold the Assad regime accountable for their use of chemical weapons, deter this kind of behavior, and degrade their capacity to carry it out. Our military has positioned assets in the region. The chairman of the Joint Chiefs has informed me that we are prepared to strike whenever we choose. Moreover, the chairman has indicated to me that our capacity to execute this mission is not time sensitive. It will be effective tomorrow or next week or 1 month from now. And I'm prepared to give that order. But having made my decision as commander-in-chief based on what I am convinced is our national security interests, I'm also mindful that I'm the president of the world's oldest constitutional democracy. I've long believed that our power is rooted not just in our military might, but in our example as a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. And that's why I've made a second decision. I will seek authorization for the use of force from the American people's representatives in Congress. Over the last several days, we've heard from members of Congress who want their voices to be heard. I absolutely agree. So this morning, I spoke with all four congressional leaders, and they've agreed to schedule a debate and then a vote as soon as Congress comes back into session. In the coming days, my administration stands ready to provide every member with the information they need to understand what happened in Syria and why it has such profound implications for America's national security. And all of us should be accountable as we move forward, and that can only be accomplished with a vote. I'm confident in the case our government has made without waiting for UN inspectors. I'm comfortable going forward without the approval of a United Nations Security Council that so far has been completely paralyzed and unwilling to hold Assad accountable. As a consequence, many people have advised against taking this decision to Congress. And undoubtedly, they were impacted by what we saw happen in the United Kingdom this week when the parliament of our closest ally failed to pass a resolution with a similar goal, even as the prime minister supported taking action. Yet while I believe I have the authority to carry out this military action without specific congressional authorization, I know that the country will be stronger if we take this course and our actions will be even more effective. We should have this debate because the issues are too big for business as usual. And this morning, John Boehner, Harry Reid, Nancy Pelosi, and Mitch McConnell agreed that this is the right thing to do for our democracy. A country faces few decisions as grave as using military force, even when that force is limited. I respect the views of those who call for caution, particularly as our country emerges from a time of war that I was elected in part to end. But if we really do want to turn away from taking appropriate action in the face of such an unspeakable outrage, then we must acknowledge the costs of doing nothing. Here's my question for every member of Congress and every member of the global community. What message will we send if a dictator can gas hundreds of children to death in plain sight and pay no price? What's the purpose of the international system that we've built if a prohibition on the use of chemical weapons that has been agreed to by the governments of 98% of the world's people and approved overwhelmingly by the Congress of the United States is not enforced? Make no mistake, this has implications beyond chemical warfare. If we won't enforce accountability in the face of this heinous act, what does it say about our resolve to stand up to others who flout fundamental international rules, to governments who would choose to build nuclear arms, to terrorists who would spread biological weapons, to armies who carry out genocide? We cannot raise our children in a world where we will not follow through on the things we say, the accords we sign, the values that define us. So just as I will take this case to Congress, I will also deliver this message to the world. While the UN investigation has some time to report on its findings, we will insist that an atrocity committed with chemical weapons is not simply investigated, it must be confronted. I don't expect every nation to agree with the decision we have made. Privately, we've heard many expressions of support from our friends, but I will ask those who care about the writ of the international community to stand publicly behind our action. And finally, let me say this to the American people. I know well that we are weary of war. We've ended one war in Iraq. We're ending another in Afghanistan. And the American people have the good sense to know we cannot resolve the underlying conflict in Syria with our military. In that part of the world, there are ancient sectarian differences. And the hopes of the Arab Spring have unleashed forces of change that are going to take many years to resolve. And that's why we're not contemplating putting our troops in the middle of someone else's war. Instead, we'll continue to support the Syrian people through our pressure on the Assad regime, our commitment to the opposition, our care for the displaced, and our pursuit of a political resolution that achieves a government that respects the dignity of its people. But we are the United States of America. And we cannot and must not turn a blind eye to what happened in Damascus. Out of the ashes of World War, we built an international order and enforced the rules that gave it meaning. And we did so because we believe that the rights of individuals to live in peace and dignity depends on the responsibilities of nations. We aren't perfect, but this nation, more than any other, has been willing to meet those responsibilities. So to all members of Congress of both parties, I ask you to take this vote for our national security. I am looking forward to the debate. In doing so, I ask you, members of Congress, to consider that some things are more important than partisan differences or the politics of the moment. Ultimately, this is not about who occupies this office at any given time. It's about who we are as a country. I believe that the people's representatives must be invested in what America does abroad. And now's the time to show the world that America keeps our commitments. We do what we say. And we lead with the belief that right makes might, not the other way around. We all know there are no easy options, but I wasn't elected to avoid hard decisions, and neither were the members of the House and the Senate. I've told you what I believe, that our security and our values demand that we cannot turn away from the massacre of countless civilians with chemical weapons. And our democracy is stronger when the president and the people's representatives stand together. I'm ready to act in the face of this outrage. Today, I'm asking Congress to send a message to the world that we are ready to move forward together as one nation. Thanks very much.
That was President Obama speaking from the Rose Garden on Saturday. And as I said, as he said, the matter would be picked up as soon as members return from their summer break on September the 9th. By the way, it seems as if they've already had 4.5 years of breaks, but that's a different story. Now, what is our task today? It is open forum, but with a very different tact. We've been practicing the art of debating, and so we will use this today as our example of how to debate your point really, really well. You are to agree or disagree with President Obama's position by selecting one of his points, and you present an argument of your own to underscore your position. Let me repeat. You are to agree or disagree with President Obama's position by selecting one of his points, just one of his points, and you present your own argument either to underscore, that is to further agree, or to refute, to disagree with his position. And you cannot repeat someone else's point. So, of course, the first person has the field wide open. It's a position of privilege to be first because you don't have anybody before you. And so you are free to start the ball rolling at 888-874-4888. The president's position is that the United States, for many reasons, should strike militarily against Syria. And he laid out his reasons. The assumption is that you've been listening very, very carefully to his points, so that when you make your case today, let's see what your reasoning is. Do you agree or you disagree? And 1 point per person, that's the census today, one per poison, 1 point per person, and let's see you make the strongest possible case, whether you agree or disagree. Rick from Ohio, you are first up at bat.
Hello, how are you?
Fine, thank you.
I have perfect timing.
So
I am against what Obama is saying and doing.
He said many things. What did he say that you are against? You pick your 1 point. You have to let us know immediately.
That the act of using chemical weapons was an unquote unspeakable outrage.
Okay.
That can't be true because he let Monsanto off the hook, and so he doesn't believe. So he can't believe something like that. You know, when Monsanto
is Monsanto engaging in military actions? Is it Monsanto engaging in warfare?
With Syria?
Yes.
No.
Okay. Well, so you have to make your point germane to the issue at hand. This is about Syria and intervention in Syria.
I'm simply looking at the bigger picture. And so, to say that it is an unspeakable outrage, you then can't support what Monsanto is doing at all. It's impossible. That's a contradiction.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for your point.
And so why? Because, well, I'll just leave it there. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you. You got the point going. Again, we are focused on Syria. Let's talk Syria today. 888-874-4888. Sarah, you're up.
Greetings, Utrice.
Thank you. Same to you.
Well, Utrice, the point I'm going to make is the president's point on Assad gassing his people, and the coalitions need to come in and prevent that catastrophe, as he alleges, from happening with President al-Assad. I'm going to disagree with him totally on that point, because we don't know without a doubt, beyond a reasonable doubt, whether or not it was al-Assad. And while I'm going to go back and say this, if al-Assad is winning a civil war in his country, hands down, without having to use any chemical weapons, he was giving a mandate, a challenge, a throwdown, so to speak, that if you cross this line, this Maginot line, this is what is going to happen. We're going to bring the full force on you, and we're going to destroy you if you were to ever cross this line that we are drawing in the sand. If I'm winning a war for 2 years without having to use chemicals on my people, why in the heck am I going to use chemicals on my people and I'm winning? The only person who would have that option to do so is the losing team. They have to get big guns to come in and back them up. So therefore, I have to go and use some chemical weapons in order to get to them so that I can get all the Western powers to come in and give me my backup. That's the only reason that they would do it. So these mercenaries that were put together by the U.S.
Oh, you're off. You're straying off.
Okay. No, but the only, like I said, the only poor people who would have that option, Utrice, are the people who are losing, not the one who is winning. If I am winning a war for 2 years without having to do anything extraordinary, why all of a sudden am I going to change my tactic to go on when I know, see what happened around me and all of my other neighbors in Iraq, in Libya, what was done, what was used, these chemical weapons that was used as a ruse to get up in there to destroy them? And I'm winning.
Okay. So you are opposed.
Yes,
and
ma'am.
You're opposed because there is no definitive proof that the Assad regime is responsible for the use of chemical warfare against the Libyans. And
against the Syrians.
And your theory now further is that it makes no sense for the winning, quote unquote, the winning side in the Civil War to actually undermine its position of strength by doing something this ridiculous.
It's foolish, yes. It's militarily stupid for you to do that, to shoot yourself in the foot. To do that. Thank you, Yusri.
Oh, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Okay, well, we have a very good shaping up here. Let's see if we could keep this going. We want you to focus on specific things that the president said that you either agree with or disagree with, and I need your case to be shored up, if you will, with your very considered response. Willie from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Yes, good afternoon, my dear sister. How are you?
Hello. Fine, thank you.
When he made a point that the representative, when Congress and the president and the people that represent us are together on this, it makes us stronger. First of all, in my judgment, I don't think the American people is that naive and silly.
In other words, you're saying you disagree?
Absolutely.
Okay, well, we have to say that.
They have used the same line when George, he's a brutal, he's guessing all kind of crazy stuff. They use the same line again. Try something else. This is so disgusting. What about the project for a new American century? What we know they're planning to do. They're just carrying another plan. But you see, my sister, you know, I couldn't listen to George Bush. This brother, it's becoming very, very difficult to listen to him because I hate liars. You know what I'm saying? But the only excuse I have for him, you taught us years ago about the permanent government in Washington. So it's not really him. That gang they have in Washington, that's pushing him. And it's up to us as the American people to show that, listen, we're not having that because we know the cause of war. We know what Martin Luther King spoke about it, the cause of the war and what it took away from the economy. And here people are losing their homes, their jobs, everything. And you want to start a war because of Israel and the Zionist forces?
Okay. Well, thank you, Willie, for your position.
Please.
All right. Now, today, I just need to clarify. Today, we're not expressing opinions as such. We're looking for you to debate the president, several points, I should say, that he made. You have a field full of points that he made. Select one and take it on and dismantle it with your own special knowledge. Shanice from Vermont, you're on the air.
Hello. I don't think. Well, I totally disagree with intervention in Syria, because we would be exacerbating the problem, sending our own weapons in there and harming innocent civilians. How is that going to make anything better? I mean, and Syria did not threaten or attack any country. They did not threaten an attack us. Why are we would be the aggressor, in my opinion? And we have done this to other people. We have poisoned Iraq and Vietnam with our chemical weapons, and we have never been prosecuted. We have never... I don't know if I'm making my case very well.
You're making your case very well.
Okay. That's
why I'm listening very, very, very closely to you.
I mean, if you take his logic, then he should be... He's a criminal. Because he basically, everything out of his mouth is hypocrisy.
All right. Well, we get a clear reason for you disagreeing with the president.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Shanice.
Thank you.
Thank you. From Queens, we have Gregory. What is your debate point? Which point are you going to select to dismantle before our ears today?
Well, good afternoon. I'd like
Hello.
To talk about when the president said that he was going to present his arguments to the people's representatives. I have to disagree with that and his whole foreign policy, really. In my opinion, I really cannot see how he can justify the fact that our Congress senators and House of Representatives do represent the people. I don't think that our administration, the Senate and House of Representatives, has represented the people in a long period of time, not only from the opinion polls of the people, but in their total disregard for the wishes of the people, the needs of the people. They've not represented the people at all. What the president wants to do is present this false flag operation to this kangaroo legislators to give a guise of it being backed by the American people, and that's a sham.
Well, okay.
Thank you.
There's nothing else for me to say, Gregory, but it's okay. But okay. Thank you. You made your case quite well. I appreciate it. Thanks so much. 888-874-4888. The example Gregory just gave us is fantastic. Pick a point, Sarah too. Pick a point and dismantle it. Just absolutely tear it to shreds, or really build on it if you believe on the other side that the president is correct in any particular way. Select that point that you think shows that you agree with the president. That's fine too. Maybe there's so much to learn. But if you disagree, we expect you also to show how and why you disagree. We'll take this break and come back to you after some really good points about programming. And I have something to say, because I've been getting quite a few calls from listeners saying that they've been having difficulty getting onto the main page at prn.fm. And in fact, our technical team has been working very hard. There was a major failure on one of the servers, and so they have retrieved the site and are rebuilding, not just rebuilding, but also giving us a brand new look. So we're going to be under construction for a little while. In the meantime, of course, you can get this and all of your other PRN.FM programs. If you want to go to, for example, http://leadstories.podbean, podbean.com, leadstories.podbean.com, and you can use the name of any of your other programs that you listen to that you would want to access via the archives. You list the name of the program and followed by .podbean, podbean.com, and you will find all of the archived programs right there. Okay, so I'll remind you again before we close, but let's listen to some programming that you ought to stick around for at PRN.FM. We come back to take some more of your calls about how or why you agree or disagree with President Obama. You're listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM, and of course, as just to remind you, in the meantime, while our Crackerjack tech team reconstructs our site, you can get us at Lead Stories, L-E-I-D, stories.podbean.com. Okay, Donald, let's hear what you have to say. Imagine that you are right next to the president as he made that speech. What yeah. do you say to the president?
Well, I'm going to keep it brief. Utrice, do you remember? Well, first of all, I don't want to go to war. I don't believe him.
So you want to state an affirmative saying the president is wrong or the president is right when he says X, Y, Z, and then give us your argument.
The president is wrong when he says they have irrefutable proof that the Assad regime is using chemical weapons.
Ah, well, you just broke one of our rules. Our rules was an argument already made, and Sarah was the first one who made that argument. You got to come to something new.
But let me ask you this. I just want this to hang up. Didn't they accuse the Assad regime of this earlier, and the UN said, no, it looked like the rebels did it?
I'm not answering any questions today.
Okay.
Today is open forum, and I'm just a traffic cop. Okay, Donald, that's great. Sean from Yonkers, let's hear from you. Hello.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, indeed.
I'm going to kind of pick apart what the president said with regard to these chemical weapons. You know, when he said that it was outrageous that Assad used chemical weapons against civilians.
Oh, you just didn't. We had this discussion a split second ago. You are not allowed to raise a point raised already.
Okay. Okay. Well, that was the main point that I did want to raise, but I didn't go too deep into everything the president said. I guess I just kind of focused on that premise from the beginning. So that's why I wanted to make a point on that.
All right. If
I broke the rule, that's fine. You know,
that's the rule today. The rule is we've heard it before. Somebody made a case on that point, so you'll have to move on to a new point. You could call back if you can gather up your brain cells and make a new point.
No, I can do that. You know, usually I'm on point when I call into your show. But
yes, you are. Usually on point.
All right, I'll call back.
Thank you. I'm being heartless today. Thank you so much, Sean. DX from L.A. You're on the air.
Yes. Hello, Eugene. Hello. How are you today?
Fine, thank you. I hope you are, too.
I'm doing fine, thank you. I think the most ridiculous...
Oh, no, you have to let us know right away. The president is right when he says this, or the president is wrong when he says that.
Oh, okay, well, I'd like to talk about the little excerpt where he says, the president is wrong when he says that... I'm going to paraphrase it. I'm going to remember the exact words. But America will not and cannot stand by and watch a regime or whatever he said use chemical weapons on its people.
Mm-hmm.
That is ridiculous and laughable in itself, because not only have we used chemical weapons against people, in other words, such as Vietnam with Agent Orange and, you know what I mean, and then in Iraq we use weapons or ammunition with depleted uranium, but we've also supplied other regimes with chemical weapons, such as Saddam Hussein in Iraq, to use against his, and he used them against his own people. So this is just, all of this is supposed to go down the memory rabbit hole or whatever, the memory hole, and we're supposed to just not even know anything about that. It's like we're not supposed to remember anything past last week, before last week. You know, and I think this is this point here that he's trying to make is he knows what he's saying is a blatant lie. He knows this, and that's the most devious, pernicious type thing that's coming out of his mouth to me, is that section where he says that. Because we've not only done it ourselves, but we've backed other regimes that have done this same thing.
Well, thank you very much. You made your point. Thanks so much.
Okay.
Stephen from Phoenix, you're up next. Tell us what you would say, or how you would confront the president, or how you would endorse his view.
I disagree with the president that Syria is a national security threat. If we attack Syria, that'll weaken our national security by adding more people that hate us for murdering their children. For someone who has won the Nobel Peace Prize, he seems to be urgent to go to war. I don't understand why he's trying to make peace, and we don't have a moral high ground to stand on.
Well, thank you. That was short and sweet, and you did the job. You accomplished your mission. Thank you so much. Well, that's what we're looking for. We're looking for a debate. You take a point that you either identify as great. Well, if you identify the point as being something you support, I guess it wouldn't be quite a debate. But let's hear your view, and let's hear why you disagree, especially why you disagree. 888-874-4888 is the number to call. So far we've had quite a spread, people posing different points of view. I'm interested in what you have to say, because we know this is how we gather the skill of debating. We listen very carefully for the point made, or points where we think the speaker is weak or wrong, and we take it apart with evidence or statistics or something concrete to the contrary. 888-874-4888. There are so many things to discuss about the president's speech on Saturday, and of course in the meantime there's all this wondering whether Congress will go along with his program, or whether it would actually put up a fight. The elections are around the corner for Congress, so people running for office, which is all 435 seats, will be very careful about how they position themselves when the so-called debate starts from September the 9th. Rich from New York, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Chief.
Hello.
I would like to agree with the president.
You're breaking up really badly.
Okay, how about now? Is it better?
Yes, a little bit better.
I'd like to agree with the president on the point that chemical weapons are criminal, and people need to be held accountable for them. And I think we should go into Syria and remove the chemical weapons. We should take the war to the rebels who use the chemical weapons. And then we should actually convict all the people within the U.S. government historically that actually use chemical weapons as well, or sold chemical weapons to other regimes.
All right, but that's an opinion. And I get it, but how do you shore up that point?
Well, I mean, to just go to war for one thing, just for one incident of chemical weapons being used when Israel was using chemical weapons on the Palestinians for the past 20 years with the white phosphorus bombing, I think that it's not, it doesn't solve the problem. It solves maybe an incident if it ever happened, but it doesn't solve the overarching problem. And in order to repair the overarching problem, everybody has to be involved, you know, around the planet, and they all have to come together and make and have the will, and the political will, to actually make this happen where nobody has chemical weapons anymore, including the United States and, you know, and other parties and administrations that were involved in using depleted uranium and using Agent Orange and other, mustard gases when Iraq used it on Iran, etc.
All right. Thank you very much, Rich, for your contribution today. Laura from New Jersey.
Yes, hi. Good afternoon.
Hello. Good afternoon, Laura.
Yes, I take issue with what the president had to say when he contended that there's no diplomatic solution, that there has to be a rush to war and bloodshed, when obviously our regular partner in crime in England has come to a vastly different conclusion and are planning to have this G20 summit with, you know, Russia and other allies to come up with a diplomatic solution. So, you know, he rushes right away to say there is none, but apparently that view is not widely held, even by people we regularly, you know, sound the trumpets for war with.
That's excellent.
Thank you.
You did a very good job.
Thank you.
Thank you. Very good job. It sounded like a simple statement, but it's a very, very deep point.
Well, certainly. To me, it just seems that, you know, to solve, and others have said this, so I don't want to repeat it necessarily, but to say that, you know, the answer to everything is just more bloodshed, and that just compounds the problem. And here we have others, you know, throughout the world saying that there's a chance for a diplomatic solution, and yet it is always, you know, in the USA beating the drums for war.
All right. You did a good job. Thanks
Thank
so much.
Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you. So you see how it goes. People would say things, and the president just stated it as a fact. They're, you know, basically, we have all the evidence we need. We don't even need to wait for the UN inspectors to issue the report. We can strike now. I have the authority to strike now, but I would like to invite Congress to give me permission to do so. What is your view on what the president has said? You heard it right here, what he said, every single word. What do you agree with? What do you disagree with? And why? 888-874-4888. See, all along, you being, how should I say, we moving toward this point of having to take on the arguments made by the other side and position ourselves very affirmatively and very strongly, in our opinion, by drawing from other sources to illustrate a point that shores up your particular perspective. And that's the fine art of debating. So we're doing quite well today, I must say. We're doing quite well, very encouraging. And we will ratchet this thing up and have one-on-one debates very soon. I could feel it happening within a short period of time. 888-874-4888. I just want to remind you, I have to say this again because it is very important. People have asked about the accessing the lead stories archives. There is and there was a problem. They have corrected it. They've put the server back together and are reconstructing the PRN website. Will take a little bit of time. But in the meantime, you can listen to lead stories and all other PRN programs via iTunes, or you can actually access the archive, the actual archived program, by going to podbean.com. You will type in the name of the program you want to listen to, .podbean, P-O-D-B-E-A-N, .com. So for lead stories, you will type in leadstories.podbean.com. Hank from Jamaica, you're on the air.
Hello, you, Teresa. It's Heck, H-E-C, as in Hector, but I prefer Heck. I disagree with the premise.
Is it Hector?
Yes.
Okay, all right. Thank you, Hector. Sorry.
I disagree with the premise or the stance of President Obama. The news that we've heard so far is that there are chemical weapons. But what I'd like to hear is there's also alternative news reports that say weapons, yes, were used, chemical weapons were used, but in fact were used by the rebels. They didn't know how to use the weapons, and they made an unfortunate mistake in misusing the weapons and caused the problem. So my point
well,
here
I have to deliver some bad news to you. That point has already been made.
I tuned in late. Sorry.
Yes. That ought to teach you a lesson.
Okay. Thank you.
No, but thank you very much for calling. And I wish that somebody had not made that point that would have allowed you to make yours explicitly. So, but we're going with the point today that once the point has been covered, we want some other points of view covered as well. Thank you, though. Thank you very, very much. 888. I'm being harsh, right? 888-874-4888. And that's just to say, hey, you got a whole big brain out there. Everybody has, must at least have 20 different points that they could disagree with in that speech very easily. The president has left himself wide open for attack on several planks in that 10-minute speech. And we'll see how well we do today in disassembling his arguments. What have you to say? Where did the president slip up? Or, as in the case of, who was it? I think it was Rich from New York who gave us a point to the contrary. He actually believes that the president was right. Except, you know, clean the house out of all weapons, all chemical weapons, including those in the United States. That was his point. 888-874-4888. So come on, let's hear what you have to say. What is it that the president said that you disagree with or agree with? And can you convince us that you have considered the idea and you, for different reasons other than what he said, that you believe that he's correct or you believe that he is wrong? All right? Those are the rules today. 888-874-4888. I'm looking to hear from you. I'm looking to hear about what it is you think today. We have a problem, I know, with our website, but it's okay. We are muddling through, and we will probably be doing this for a while, but as you can tell, we are able to communicate very nicely, very well, as before. That has not been damaged at all. I just got a note from the archives, and I would like to read that to you. They said, we have the site together to the point where we will be able to start posting shows today. For past shows go up, past shows to go up, it's going to take some time. Unfortunately, we'll just keep working on it. So there's been a major issue. They have worked very, very hard to retrieve all of the essential contents of the site. With the server going down, and now they are getting to the point again of posting shows. So in the meantime, if you, many people have written, and I really am so happy to get the information that I could pass on to you, looking for ways to access lead stories, you can do so by going to podbean.com, P-O-D, P as in Peter, O-D, podbean.com. Podbean being one word. So when you go to podbean.com, you will type the name of the program that you want, not just Lead Stories, but the name of any other program that you wish to access the archive for. So in the case of Lead Stories, you would type leadstories.podbean.com. Okay? leadstories.podbean.com. I'm going to post this as well on the Facebook page, Lead Stories with Utrecht Lead. So thank you so much for your patience, and I really congratulate the folks working on the technical end. I know they had a huge challenge, but they're up to it, and they're pulling through. So in no time, we just have a little bit of inconvenience, but it will be all for the better because we also will be presenting a brand new look by the time they're through. 888-874-4888. We can take at least one more call. Who would that be? I don't know. Let's see who's calling us. 888-874-4888. I want also to remind you that from time to time, when speeches are played, they're played for a purpose, and that is that we may not get to them that very day, but we will be getting to them in due course. So they're presented to you for listening, not just, you know, for idling the time away, but to build for the time when they become the subject of discussion. So we have some very nice lectures coming up that are pertinent to discussion, but this issue of Syria is extremely troubling, very, very much so. The president's position is also very troubling, and for all kinds of reasons. I want to know from you what you think. And when this comes up for debate on September the 9th, we expect it to be vigorous. I don't know if it would be, we will be able to see all of it, but I certainly think that the excerpt we played on Friday from Parliament gave us an entirely different view of how the British legislative process worked in confronting David Cameron directly. People were able to ask questions directly. He put up quite a fight, but in the end, they vetoed England going into some kind of a partnership with the United States and France in just declaring war, as it were. They're calling it a military strike. It is, in fact, war on Syria. The president says, of course, that it would be very narrowly defined. There's no such thing as, you know, narrow in scope. War is war. Anytime a country does anything, attacks you, whether it is a huge attack or a little attack, it's an attack. It's war. So to present the view that this could really be contained as a kind of symbolic response, a symbolic response type of war, I just don't understand that. But so he maintains a position that there will be no, quote, boots on the ground, unquote, meaning there will be no soldiers sent in. This would be a high-tech war. Of course, you should know that these missiles today can be programmed and are programmed remotely to fly around their targets for a long time, for hours on end, and then to be deployed whenever they choose. And by then, the targets would be selected. But all wars bring death, and the shifting of people from one region to the other, calamity, destruction of infrastructure, all kinds of consequences like hunger and just deprivation, terror, and total chaos. And Bashar al-Assad has said that any attack on Syria will unleash a new level, an unprecedented level of instability in the region. He called it explosive. Now, of course, we know that when heads of state talk about war in these terms, it would tend to be very dramatic. But this is not really being dramatic. This is an actual sense of things. On all sides, the stakes are very high. And as these countries, you know, kind of just jostle each other for supremacy and play this awful game of one-upmanship, it is the people who in the end lose the most. As I say, when elephants fight, it's the grass that loses. That means that it's the people in the middle, caught up in the middle, who suffer the most. Hopefully, there would be some kind of a sane response, and the United States would act as, not as the supreme nation, not as the empire of the universe, but as a nation in the world community of nations, paying respect and deference to the opinions of the rest of the world. That is a fundamental democratic right that nations should expect the United States and all of these so-called superpowers to behave like they recognize that they're not the only countries in the world, that there are other people in the world, there are other nations in the world, and they have a right to express their opinions and to have those opinions respected. Well, that brings us to the end of our program today. I'm happy to have joined you today and to have just kind of given some thought about this speech by the president. Tomorrow we will meet here again at 1 o'clock, and I'm delighted that you could have joined me here today. Please pass the word on, and again, if you wish to access Lead Stories or any other program, go to Podbean, type first the name of the program, .podbean, P-O-D-B-E-A-N, .com. Take care.